It is Tuesday, February 14th, and this is EconoDay's Economist Roundtable with Jeremy Hawkins in London and Mark Pender in the U.S. I am Ann Picker, EconoDay's Chief Economist. Mark, we have been listening to Fed Chair Janet Yellen's first 2 days of testimony before congressional committees. Today she spoke before the Senate Banking Committee. Tomorrow, Wednesday, she will testify before the House of Representatives Financial Services Committee. So what did she say in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, well, as far as policy goes, I don't think that there's any change in the expectations for perhaps several rate hikes this year. She confirmed that gradual hikes would be appropriate. She cited increasing a strength in the employment sector, and she didn't talk too much about inflation, but inflation is going along the improving path. What I think struck is most striking about her comments today, and which contrast with calls from other federal officials, and that's in the unwinding the Fed's $4.5 trillion balance sheet. There are some calls for that within the Fed, but she definitely stepped back from that, saying she doesn't want to use the unwinding of the balance sheet as a policy tool, that it could disrupt the markets. So that is a little bit of a nuance, I think, in the discussion. So it looks like the questions of the reinvestment have been put aside, perhaps for the time being, and perhaps for longer. It'd be interesting to see in Wednesday's commentary what the effect will be, or what her comments will be on this. As far as the economy in general, she was, I think, mildly upbeat, pointing to continued growth for the labor market, where, however, slack has diminished, which I think is an important point that she's making, which has an inflationary overtone. But then again, like I said, she wasn't really concerned too much about inflation. The bond market's reaction was a bit of a selling, which is a technical move, a small technical move in the market. It doesn't seem to be really based on what she said, especially if the Fed keeps its balance sheet together. And she also noted one thing interesting also about the balance sheet, that she expects eventually, although she says in the long run, she sees the balance sheet unwinding. She noted that it will come down to treasuries, where the Fed holds about $2.5 trillion, and which leaves the $1.1 trillion in mortgage-backed securities. It looks like that they're the ones that are going to be liquidated. But how they go about unwinding the balance sheet is also important. Will they just let it roll off naturally, or will they go in and sell it when that time comes? So she's opened up a lot of topics for the future policy. Regarding the Trump administration, she repeated that the fiscal policy is only one aspect of monetary policy. I think that this is there isn't a little bit of disingenuousness in this, but it can be a very significant factor. But she was playing down that factor, and she also noted that some of the officials are incorporating higher fiscal stimulus in their forecasts. But again, she downplayed that impact as well, in line with what she's been saying, and I think what the Fed has been saying. I don't think it has an immediate bearing on economic forecasts, today's testimony, but I think the people in the bond market are going to be scrambling a little bit to try to get an overall view of it.
Mark, also on fiscal policy, she made the point that they don't make policy on supposition, they make it on fact. And the fact that there is no fiscal policy per se in terms of hard facts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can't possibly adjust their policy to presumed.
Well, you know, that's what a striking disconnect for me is, because they're always looking at the long-term outlook for the economy and for all these economic factors. They're always stressing their ability to forecast and the importance of looking far ahead. In this case, they are not doing that. They are squeezing back. They're saying, well, we really don't know. We really can't tell. But you know, and we don't know how things are going to unfold in Washington. However, you know, Donald Trump does have the Republicans have a majority, and certainly Donald Trump has spoken very aggressively on the need for fiscal stimulus. So there is, I think, a little bit of a separation there that may come back to haunt the Fed if policy is put in place and the effects are quicker than fiscal effects have been in the past.
Well, you know, if you just think of how long it takes any legislation to be created, written, committees meet, mm-hmm. and everything, it's going to be a while before any real substantive change is made.
But markets move on the expectations of change.
True.
And so it just once this starts getting going, you know, people will move to the conclusion, to final conclusions on what this will ultimately mean, and in market fashion try to bring up prices to the levels that would be expected under this new regime. So it could be a very it's difficult position for her too, because Donald Trump in charge, at least in the president, where he appears to be testing the limits of the presidential power. And part of these, he hasn't turned during the campaign, he turned his focus on the Fed, but he hasn't yet done that as president. Should he do that, I think that the movement could be very quick. But I guess you have to wait for it.
I think there's a long line, Mark.
Yeah. So, it's an interesting mix. I don't know. And I was wanted to ask Jeremy, because I can hear Jeremy.
Mark, before you ask me, can I ask you a quick one before
okay,
we
go ahead.
The rest whatever. Yeah, just going back to his balance sheet, maintaining the size of it. Do you think implicit within that there's a signal that, at least as far as Yellen's concerned, she's not overly worried about where inflation's going, which mm-hmm. in itself suggests that, you know, Fed tightening is itself going to be quite gradual?
Yes. Well, she actually mentioned when the unwinding of the balance sheet comes, she wants to do it in a gradual way, as just like the interest rate policy. However, in contrast to this, it doesn't look, at least that the new administration wants to have a similar gradual policy when it comes to fiscal. The fiscal side, they seem to be talking about a sudden significant change. But the Federal Reserve is into not surprising the markets, trying to keep everything steady, trying to signal everything as well as they can in advance, and they're trying to do that here. But they're not. Janet Yellen is not not part of the Trump camp, you know. And I think that the Fed is separated from the new administration. And there hasn't been a level of hostility yet, or a level of what may actually unfold, may or may not unfold. But again, if you refer back to the campaign, it definitely was hostile references to the Fed.
Okay.
What, Jeremy, what about the reaction over on your side of the pond, and the difference between Fed policy and ECB, Bank of England, etc.?
Well, I think certainly in terms of the differences we have between the Fed and the ECB at the moment, that's being reflected in performance of euro dollar once again. And we've been through a slightly volatile time, I suppose, at the start of this year, not least because of political uncertainties on both sides of the pond. But it seems now that we're starting to see a fresh move going back into the dollar. And I think that's partly due to a sort of a reassessment of where Europe's going at the moment. Back end of last year, I think Mr. Draghi and his council members members were probably meeting with the biggest smiles on their faces they've had for some while, in the sense that the numbers at long last were starting to move in their direction. Today, though, we saw fourth quarter growth being revised down, only a tick by all means, but it's 0.4% on the quarter for Eurozone GDP now, so down from 0.5%, which is not a big move, but nonetheless, it's going to raise, I think, a question mark still over the sustainability of the current upswing, which as far as European central bank policy, of course, means that they're not going anywhere in a hurry at all. And indeed, if we're going to see a move coming out of the ECB over the, let's say, the first half of this year, it's going to be another kind of ease. We know they'll be cutting back on their quantitative easing buying, not actually ending it by any means, but reducing the auction buying once we get into April. That's only a minor reduction. So policy here is going to remain extremely soft for a long while. And I think, to be honest, that's probably still the same with the Bank of England, even though, of course, they still have this big issue about accelerating inflation. And that's only a couple of pips below its long-term target as of today.
But, Jeremy, I have a question on deleveraging the balance sheet. Isn't that really a tightening in a way? We were talking about easing, but
It depends on how you want to measure it. Ultimately, I think it's the overall size of the balance sheet. So all the ECB will be doing will be reducing the amount of new paper it's buying every month. So it's not the case it stopped buying altogether. It simply won't be buying each month once we get into April quite as much as it had been previously. So essentially, they're still inflating the balance sheet. They're still pumping liquidity into the market. So to all intents and purposes, they're actually still loosening policy, albeit not quite as quickly as they have been in the past.
Thank you, guys. It was most interesting. Tune in next week for our next podcast.